Hello. We're glad you're taking part in the CD ministry of New Hope Baptist Church in Marianna, Florida. Today's message by Pastor Brandon Griffin is the third in a sermon series on the book of Galatians. Today's scripture text is Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. We hope that this sermon encourages you as you follow Christ in faith. For more information about New Hope Baptist Church, you can view our website at newhopemarianna.com.
I think that just in lieu of time, let's add 3 points. I will just do one of three. But there's enough in those one in that one point to fill up several messages. In this Galatians chapter 1, I was going to go through 11 through 24, believe it or not, that many verses. We were going to be here 2 hours, but we were going to get through it. But we'll just do verses 11 and 12. So if you have your book open, let's read it, or you follow along as I read out loud. It says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." After Paul established this church and many more in his missionary journeys, Paul started receiving word that there were men coming behind him, undermining his work. Now, scholars and today, or 100 years ago, needed to label and call these men something. They were not called this in Paul's. They were just opponents to the gospel. They were enemies to the gospel. They undermined the gospel of grace, the gospel of salvation, and they were just opponents and enemies to the gospel of Jesus. But to label these people, we have labeled them Judaizers. Now, what a Judaizer is, and the meaning of that, is someone who was devoted to the Mosaic law, to its standards, and to its practices. And they felt that this once prized Pharisee, the top student of his class, Paul, he was Saul, but now is Paul, that he had left the faith and that he was teaching a godless gospel, that he was teaching a godless, anti-God manifestation, a new cult, a new religion, and that he had come up with this upon his own, and that he was trying to get many people to follow him. Now, we looked at how absurd that was. The last 2 weeks, we've touched on that, how crazy that thought was. But that is what they were trying to do. These Judaizers were going back and literally following upon Paul's trail, not just in the church of Galatia, but other churches, and trying to bring down his message. One of the ways they were bringing down his message is that they were attacking him personally. For if you can attack a person and his personal character, then you can harm his message. Look at ministries today. When you can attack a person and his character, what does it do to his ministry? Look at businesses today. When men and women that are head of businesses and you can go and attack their business, are their personal character and who they are, what does it do for that person's business? How about politics? Now, you know about all the mudslinging and all like that, but when you look at a person's character, what does it do for their message? I guess it harmed everybody else but Bill Clinton. He is the only one that seemed to escape and still won. But most of the time, you attack a person's character, and it harms everything else in their lives. So that's what these Judaizers were doing. They were going around and they were trying to undermine Paul's message, undermine, and they had to do it by undermining him. They were doing this because they felt like that he was a self-appointed teacher and that his motivation was to gather all this personal following and personal power for himself. They accused him of setting the traditions of Judaism aside and setting the Mosaic law aside and uplifting this easy believism, easy gospel for the numbers. And the strategy of these Judaizers seemed to be working, as we looked at last week in verse 6. It said, I marvel that you are turning. There was a process that these people were turning. They were following and turning away from the gospel. It had not been completed yet. They were in process. But they were actually turning away from the gospel. And as I started thinking about this and looking at these passages or these verses this week and thinking through it, I was thinking that how badly it must have hurt Paul. You know, I, as a pastor, I can turn on the radio and watch television, and I can see teachings that are really harmful. And people don't know really what they're sitting under because they don't handle the scripture like they need to today. We are living, believe it or not, in a biblically illiterate society. If I were to ask New Hopers today, if you could list the books of the Bible, could you do it? Because many of you don't want to accept it. You want to think, yeah, I'm grounded, yeah, I know the scripture, but do you? Do you truly? And I can say this, that if New Hope is struggling with having a good foundation, there are many other people in many other churches that are struggling to have a good foundation of the Word. And so I listen to these teachings and I think, where do they get that from? There's nowhere, that is taught nowhere in Scripture, and it's contrary to Scripture, but people lap it up and want more of it. And it grieves my heart and hurts me for two reasons. The first, because of Christ. Because anything that does not exalt Christ completely is stealing from His glory. If it's not 100% about Jesus, it has no part with Him. And secondly, I deal with the lives of people that are damaged daily coming from bad doctrine and bad teaching. Tim, not to put you on the spot, but how many people do you talk to daily where they say and have been taught something contrary to Scripture and it has wrecked their lives? Am I telling the truth? They lap up wrong doctrine and it wrecks lives. And as I, as a pastor, think and feel this hurt that I can never get away from, that you can ask my wife, I pace the floor at night thinking, God, please save New Hope at least. Shelter, put an umbrella over us. Things that keep me up at night. That I wish sometimes in my human body that I could take off my job and go home. That I can't. And if I feel like this, I can't imagine the hurt that the Apostle Paul felt. If I, in some small, insignificant way, feel like this, the hurt that he was going through when he was realizing that people were turning away from the gospel. How crushed he was. So as I was thinking about this and wondering and thinking, Lord, how did he deal with this? He wrote a defense. And his defense was not based upon emotion. It was not based upon using a personal loyalty, saying, you know me and I know you and we've done this together. There was no personal loyalty. There was no emotions involved. His defense was based upon facts. And in these verses, verses 11 through 24, he built a defense and had 3 points. Now, we're only going to look at the first point, the defense of the gospel, the defense of what he preached, the defense of what he taught, and why they shouldn't listen to these other teachers, and why they shouldn't turn away, and why they should hold on to the truth with all they have. There's 3 points. The first point, and the only point we're going to look at this morning, is the origin of the gospel that Paul preached. Or for the kids, kids, here's your 1 point. Where did Paul get his message? Where did Paul get his message? Where was the origin of Paul's message? The beginning. Where did he get this gospel that he so preached? Let's read verse 11. It says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man." Paul was asserting that what he was teaching was not made up by any man. It was not taught to him. He did not sit and take this from a person or anybody, but it was from God. Turn with me, hold your fingers right here, just a few pages to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, a few pages back. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This was not taken by any person. He did not go off and make up this religious system that he was teaching them and how he was teaching them. And it wasn't something that he had compiled together, because as he wrote in 1 Corinthians, this gospel that he was preaching was foolishness. Why would anybody, if they were to make something up, why would they make up something so foolish to try to sell? It doesn't make sense. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's start with verse 21 and go down to 25. It says this, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know Him," meaning you can't know God just simply through wisdom. You can't be smart enough to know God. Do you hear me? "It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Meaning, for me to get up and try to expound the things of God and for you to get it is foolishness. That is a work only for God. Man cannot do this. I cannot be eloquent enough. I cannot think of enough examples. I cannot put messages together enough. It is only a thing of the Spirit. Do you know why unbelievers can sit through a service and get mad and get frustrated or not understand or not get it? It's because they're not saved. Sheep like sheep food. Amen? You give a sheep the word, the sheep eats it. A goat likes everything. Amen? They'll eat on anything. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, here and there. They'll just, whatever fills their belly, wherever the wind blows, that's what they eat. Sheep like sheep food. And sheep need a shepherd. And we need Jesus. And so, go on, verse 22. I got off on a sidetrack. Verse 22. For Jews requested a sign. They wanted a sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, isn't it wonderful to be called? Both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Amen? So we're seeing here that Paul is building his defense and he's saying, listen, I did not get this from man. This did not come, as verse 11 says, according to man. It did not, this message that I'm bringing to you did not come from man. It was, did not come from man in its measure because it's too much. It's too great. You can't measure the grace of God. It's too massive. It did not come, this message, in standard. Listen, can anyone meet the standard of the Almighty? No! So if you can't measure this message and you can't meet this message, what is He doing? It's foolishness, isn't it? So He did not make this message up. This message at this origin, where did it come from? It did not come from man. You can't measure it. You can't meet it. And you definitely, definitely can't craft it. You know, one thing that Baptists and Presbyterians do more than anything is we try to put God in a box. This is how God works. I do it. And thank God He is big enough that He can't be put in any pattern or craft. Now, He won't do anything contrary to His Word. That's His Word. He spoke it. But we limit God. We hold. We say, this is what He's going to do. This is what. You know what? Just like this morning, I didn't think about having testimonies of God's healing. I didn't think about that. Kurt came up to me and said, we need to do this. You need to get Don to speak. And I said, you don't know Don. He won't do it. And I said, I guess I'm going to have to just put him on the spot and not tell him. Because if I would have told him earlier, he would have been fretting over there the whole time, wouldn't he? But Kurt was saying, we need to remember what God still does for His people. That we can't just sit Him in a box. That He is God and we are not. We need to ask
him to share about God's healing power. It was not human. It was supernatural. It was not by man's craftiness. It was created by God. And then in verse 12, there's three things that I want to show you in verse 12, and then we're going to go. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Christ Jesus. Paul did not receive it from man. What did he mean by this? Again, he's reiterating, he was not taught these truths. These truths were revealed to him, just like to all of us. No one can teach these truths to someone else. Only God's Spirit can do that. God's Spirit can take your jumbled words, your foolish thoughts, your formulas, your prayers, and manipulate them and form them and pierce somebody else's heart. But without God's hand, no man can convince another man of salvation. It's not going to happen. It can't happen. It's impossible to happen. Salvation is not grace plus something else. It is solely grace. It is only grace. It is all grace. It is all God. It is all Christ. It is all of His Holy Spirit. It is nothing of us. If it was one, if God gave us one chance, 1 ounce, 1% of our own will, do you know what we would do? Flee! Turn! Rebel! Thank God He doesn't! Amen? Thank God He overwhelmed you. Thank God that your will is secondary. Thank God that He alone is the Savior. Turn with me, hold your fingers right here, and turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Okay, let's read John chapter 1. Let's start in verse 11. He came to His own, meaning Christ, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children, to those who believe in His name. Now let's stop. Because it says to as many as receive Him. And you may say, there you go, Brandon, that's a contradiction to what you're just saying. No, it's not. Because that's what it means. If you come to Him, do you know why you're able to come to Christ? Because of grace. Do you know why you're able to receive Him? Because He's overwhelmed you by His grace. Amen? Do you know why that your eyes finally open up and your heart finally gets it? And one day, wherever you are, you sit back and you go, I get it. I see things differently because of grace. Why you run to Him. Why you want to be with Him. Why you want to say, Jesus, please take my heart. It's because of grace. Because listen to the next verse. Verse 13. This is why I say this. The bottom of verse 12. To those who believe in His name, who were born, meaning born again, who were born not of blood, meaning it's not because your mom and daddy, it's not because of your inheritance, nor the will of flesh. It wasn't because you wanted it or anybody else wanted it, nor the will of man, meaning your mom and daddy can't do it for you. The people that love you the most, listen to me, the people who love you the most cannot do it. But look what the Word says. But of God! Woo! That makes you want to get charismatic! Hoot and holler! Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. One more. I'm going the wrong way. Matthew 16. I love this. I love this. The great confession. Christ coming to the apostles, to the ones He chose, and saying to them, Who do you say that I am? Let's read this. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man? Who do they say that I am? Verse 14. So they said, Some say John the Baptist. You remember John the Baptist was beheaded. Y'all remember that? Some say Elijah. Do you remember what happened to Elijah? Elijah was taken up. He never died. Some of them were saying, You're Elijah. You have come back. Do you remember the Seder meal that we learned about at the Lord's Supper that we take when we take it as Protestants? The Lord's Supper? Do you know in the Seder meal, Jews to this day set a table, set a placemat for Elijah? Do you know why? They're still waiting for Elijah to come back. And so some of the people were saying Jesus was Elijah, that Elijah had come back. The others, Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Think about Jeremiah's message. Nobody wanted to hear it. And then the prophet. Are one of the prophets. Verse 15. And He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are Him. And verse 17, And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah! That's what happened to every believer that has ever been. I can preach, we can share, but the only way anyone is saved is one reason. The grace of God, imputed by the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's it. That's how salvation comes. And so we see that He says here, I didn't receive it from man. Turn back. You probably still have your fingers there. Turn back to Galatians. He says in verse 12, he says, I didn't receive it from man, nor was I taught it. He did not sit in a classroom. He did not learn from teachers. He did not learn from great motivational speakers. He did not learn from the rabbis of his day. He was taught it. Human instruction was not the method by which Paul learned this gospel. And then he tells us how he learned it in the last point. But, don't you love it? But it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. By revelation by revelation, just as the prophets of old. Just as when Jacob wrestled with the angel, just as the three Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, in the fiery furnace, do you remember? Just as Joshua before Jericho. Just like Elijah. Just as Jeremiah and Isaiah. Just as the Apostle John, who was taken up, God revealed, showed him. Just like you and me. Amen? By revelation, God illuminating our hearts and minds. Where did it happen to you? Where? When? When did it happen to me? I can tell you. It was on the side of a mountain in North Carolina, July 17th of 1985, when I was shaking my fist, angry, did not understand. And God saved me on the side of a mountain in Weaverville, North Carolina, and overwhelmed me with His love and grace and mercy. Where did it happen to you? No man could have told me. Not flesh and blood, not by will. Only by the grace of God. How's it going to happen for my kids and your kids? We can teach them the catechism. We can cry and we can weep and we can pray, but it will only be through the grace of God that the Lord touches their lives. But the question you need to ask is, don't leave today if He hasn't touched you. Stop playing games. Stop doing it. Greg, I'm going to put you on the spot because I've been thinking about it all week. I want you to tell the story of Roth and the lady washing dishes. You think you can put us this? I know, man, I just want you to tell it. Lady who had been in the church her whole life. They called her the mother of Israel. And she was not saved. And she did not have peace. Hear me. Hear me. Do not let the day of the Lord come and you cry out, Lord, Lord, and Him say, I never knew. But Lord, I did this in Your name. And Lord, I did this in Your name. And Lord, I did this. And don't let Him say, I never knew You. Let's cry out today for God's mercy upon our church.
Thanks again for taking part in the CD ministry of New Hope Baptist Church in Marianna, Florida. We hope you've been blessed by hearing this message. Please feel free to make copies of this sermon to share with others. But please do not alter the message in any way or charge for copies. Don't forget to check us out on the web at newhopemariana.com.